prayer. Heavenly Father, again we approach unto you through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Knowing, my God, that here we have reality, something like the old patriarch said, this is a terrible place, but God is in this place. And we pray, Lord, that this should be the understanding of our heart. Wherever thou art, that is a terrible place, Lord, because it should be one of respect and honor, one of complete submission, because thou art sovereign. Remembering the words of that great man who wrote, remember, God is in heaven, thou art on earth, therefore keep the words of thy mouth. Careful in everything, O God, help us to be very, very careful to speak only the oracles of God, and only to do those things in the motivation, the love, and the spirit of Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, this morning to hear thy word, but might admonish our souls, and yet offer that same engrafted word to lift us up in faith, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Father, maybe people this morning who have not had answers to their questions, we pray, O God, that you'll answer those questions for them. And whatever their needs are, Lord, in their bodies, we pray that that should be answered also. But above all, my God, may they realize that there's one great important need above all else, and that is for your spirit by the word be down deep within the soul. They might be living epistles read and known of all men. Now, our great God of all grace, we pray, Lord Jesus Christ, anoint thy word now. This last of the service this morning, and may it do something rich and wonderful for every heart here. Give us grace, Lord, and mellow us, circumcise our hearts and our minds. Cut away all those fleshly things, O God. We pray, Lord Jesus Christ, that this might not simply be a prayer, but this might be the answer. Now we commend ourselves to your heartly, Lord Jesus Christ, in thy great name we pray. Amen. May be seated. Now, very happy to be back here this morning, and little rain on the outside is fine. We don't seem to have any trouble on the inside, and we're in the latter rain, the former rain having fallen, and so very wonderful to be this historical time, in time, that God has so ordained. Now, yesterday, I think I did miss a few questions. I know I sort of mislaid them. I was shuffling them back and forth to try to keep them the way I wanted them, and I got lost in the shuffle. And one question the sister asked me was, is it wrong to use purple in your dress or something because Brother Brown spoke of the purple curtain? Now, that's the truth. Brother Brown never originated that phrase. The purple curtain is a phrase somebody else originated. Having to do with Rome. The color purple signifies royalty. Well, if you're going to worry about purple, then don't wear red either, because that's got a worse name than ever. Remember, the many cardinals wear red, and they have to wear it because it's symbolic of the Vatican. The Vatican is Vatica in the House of Kings, so you can't wear red. And this would be rough on you guys' red eyeballs, because you'll actually eat sometime. Mosquito get in there. No, you don't worry about colors. Look, everything in this world is good and bad depending how you use it.
Amen.
Have all the colors of rainbow. Joseph had a beautiful coat of all the colors and got him in Dutch. Dumped him in a ditch and figured they left him dead. They just soon had him dead. But don't worry about the colors. And then there's another question I guess I sort of missed, and that was on engagements. If a young couple are promised to each other, does that mean that they're married? No, sir. You said the prophet said so. Well, the prophet said and the prophet said and the prophet said. You got to know the point of view. A couple in Georgia thought that they maybe had to get married after all because they were engaged, and that's all they had was a word understanding. And they said, Brother Brown, we decided we weren't suited for each other. Are we married? And he wrote back, he said, no, sir. You're not married. You have to have the legal instrument, which is the certificates and those things handed to you by the government. Lots of little funny things go on in people's minds. And you usually find those who are the most adamant in attempting to use those little things that Brother Graham said and didn't do much explaining over them. They try to use them as a club. And now, you men, if you think you sort of had a girl talked into marrying you, and now she decides it wouldn't be right and you're going to hold that club over her, well, I just won't stay anymore. I'm kind of a rough customer, so let it go right there. you're in for the biggest mess you ever had in your life if you persuade the girl to marry you and she didn't want to marry you. And vice versa. So, I think I know why he said it, but I won't bother elaborating this morning on it. So, just going over that for you, and I wasn't able to answer all the questions, I'm sorry. And I know the Lord will answer your questions for you. Sometimes there are certain questions in prophecy that we're not supposed to know. Brother Branham wanted to preach on the trumpet and then on the vial, plague. And God said, no, that's not for your day. The bride will be gone when this takes place, so you just leave that be. So that's how we are. We stay with your ordained word of God. Now, it's been a very nice time here to be with you folks. Enjoyed it very, very much. And it's a little pitiful, you know, a camp meeting is 1 week, and then people say, oh, we're just getting happy now, so you stay 2 weeks. Well, if you stay 2 weeks, you'd only want 3 weeks anyway. So you might as well be very content with the 1 week. And this will, give you great pleasure in the Lord as you depart and go to your homes. And we pray each one has a safe and profitable journey and a more profitable life for the Lord from this time on, having grown richer in the grace which is in Christ Jesus. Now, this morning I want to bring a message, and it's one of those that maybe take a little time, depending on how fast I can read my notes, or how quickly we can discuss what is in the note form. And the message is 20th century negative confession. 20th century negative confession. And we'll try to relate the Word of God to this day and show you how to stand fast in the faith and the Word which the Lord delivered to us by the prophet. Now, if you have your Bibles, you may turn to the Book of Numbers, the 13th chapter. Begin in verse 26. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told them and said, we came out of the land whither thou sendest us, and surely it flows in milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong to dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, and the Amalekites dwell in the land itself, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea, and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb filled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are strong in the weak. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land to which we have gone to search it is the land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. And all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried. And the people wept that night, and all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this world? And wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be afraid? Were it not better for us to return unto Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain, let us return to Egypt. And Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Moses the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through the search is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land, and give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us, fear them not. But all the congregation that stoned them with stone, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me? For all the signs which I have showed among them. Turning now to the book of Hebrews, the 3rd chapter. have a lengthy reading this morning, so that if we heard nothing but the Word, we'll certainly be blessed. Just reading the Word of God together. Beginning at the 7th verse. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, the day if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of the temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved at that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened to the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made companions, not partakers, that's the wrong translation. We're made companions of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that sinned, whose carcasses felt newness? And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not? So you see, they could not enter in because of unbelief. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed to enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remaineth, that some must enter therein. And they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again he limits a certain day, saying in David, today after so long a time, as it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. For Joshua had given them rest. It's not Jesus Christ, it's Joshua. So Jesus certainly gave rest. If Joshua had given them rest, then would we not afterwards have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharpening any two-edged sword, piercing even dividing asunder soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. There neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked, as openly exposed unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Turning now to Hebrews, it's the 10th chapter, 22-25. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope. The wrong translation is not profession of faith. That's absolutely contrary to the Word of God. It is confession of hope without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love. And the good words, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, the word that I read to you from Numbers 13, verses 26 to 33, is the historical account of a major New Testament doctrine found in the book of Hebrews, chapter 3, verses 7 to 19, wherein it is set forth that unbelief, or the failure to believe in the revealed and vindicated word of the day, brings death to all who will not act upon that word. I want to repeat that. And that is the reading which we gave to you from the book of Numbers, where Israel failed to enter into the promised land, is the basis or the historical account of an actual major New Testament doctrine set forth in Hebrews 3, 7 to 19, wherein is set forth that unbelief, or the failure to believe in the revealed and vindicated word of the day, brings death to all who will not believe it and act on it all the way. Now let us look at why Israel in majority did not go in. In fact, everybody over 20, except for Caleb and Joshua, never made it. God let them die in great tribulation, as it were, because of their unbelief. Now, I said, as it were. I did not say it was the great tribulation. It's a type of it. They entered into it and died as a type of the tribulation because they would not believe. Now, Moses had attracted their attention through two signs. Remember, how he had those two signs? He could throw down the rod, turn into a serpent, and then put his hand in bosom, and it would be leprous, put it back in, it would be white. He attracted Israel by his two signs. His contest with Pharaoh was perfect because he had thus said the Lord. Now, he also led them out of Egypt through the Red Sea and up to Sinai, where he saw the pillar of fire and heard the voice of God. He did this through the mighty signs and wonders that completely destroyed Egypt, so they were only too willing to let them go. In the wilderness, Israel, under the prophet, the vindicated, revealed word of God, they ate manna, which is angel food. They had food for their animals, not even an ox lack. Their clothes did not wear out. None of their shoes fell off of their feet. There was not one sick person. But when it was time for God to reap a harvest of their faith and take them into the land, they fell back in unbelief and died. Now this is stupendous. That when it came time for God to reap a harvest of their faith based upon the vindicated word of the hour, they fell back and refused to believe that they could actually go into the place. This beautiful, wonderful place that God had prepared and promised for them, they would not enter in. They died. God wanted a harvest. He wanted to reap from his sowing. And these people refused to believe and give God the harvest that he wanted. Now the reason was this. They saw the conditions that God laid down before them and they fainted. They saw the conditions that God had laid down. For God expected them to walk into their inheritance without one single solitary asset but faith in his word. That was the asset that they had. Faith based upon the vindicated word of the hour. The word which could not fail in the mouth of a prophet was thus set the Lord. They finally backed away from it. They would not enter in with that one asset. Now, they found every reason to make them believe it could not be done. Now, let's look at those reasons that Israel found. In spite of the vindicated message of the hour, that they could not go into that land based on faith in that word. Now, what loomed up so high? First of all, they saw the Amalekites, the Hittites, the Jebusites, all mighty men, and some sons of Anak or even giants. They saw great hope, many nations, fearsome, awesome, great, mighty men, some of which were giants. There were warriors in Palestine. Many warriors. And you will notice that Israel was not a warrior people. Under the Pharaohs, they were not allowed even to pick up a weapon in case the people should become armed and overthrow the Pharaohs. And you'll notice here how God himself took them out. They never raised one weapon. They didn't have to lift their finger to one bit of fighting. It was God with the mighty hand who took them out. Now these Israelites had no armament whatsoever. And so they came without the tool of warfare to walk into Palestine, to the promised land. And they could not do it. You'll notice also they feared for their own lives. The men were afraid. They said, if we go in there, we're going to be killed. We just are not a match for them. They feared for the lives of the children and the women. And they knew if they were killed, then the men would take their wives and destroy those that were with child, or perhaps had children,
keep all the young girls and young women, destroy the boy babies, and all, that would be the end of it, because that's how they used to do in those days. They did their best to annihilate, make a clean sweep the whole job. Now, they panicked. Now listen carefully. They panicked to think that God would give such a lackluster, helpless ones as they, the victory. That's right. They looked at themselves and they said, now, we don't have one thing to commend it. There's none of us here got any weapons. There's none of us who are smart warriors. There's none of us here that really have anything that can be depended upon. And we're so helpless. I just can't see how in the world God is going to give a bunch that acts like us and looks like us any kind of a victory and any kind of a home in the promised land. They said, Moses has not given us enough whereby we can go in and take the land. What poor spiritual shape they are in for not having had someone instructing them for 400 years. Because it was 400 years since God gave the revelation to Abraham. And now when God sent Moses with mighty signs and wonders and a wonderfully vindicated message and everything falling into perfect line to encourage them and bless them, they were so spiritually dull and so hardened, they absolutely could not take the fresh word of the hour because of all the centuries of their nothingness. And they looked upon themselves as nothing. And they couldn't rise up and believe God that God would take a group like them who had nothing to present in themselves, but simply grasp that word and walk in. And no doubt some said, I ain't got nothing, and you ain't got nothing, and nobody ain't got nothing. Joshua and Caleb were the only two that said, look, we've got everything we need. We're well able to go in and take the land because God said He gave it to us. We don't care if we've got one sword or two swords or a million swords or no swords. We don't care if we don't know the first thing about fighting or know everything about fighting. We don't care if we have everything or we have nothing. God said we could do it. God said He would give it to us. Come on, let's go on in and be full of courage. Now, you know what they were doing when they said, ain't nobody got none? And especially when they said, Moses hasn't given us enough. We got to have more yet. They were destroying their faith and their future. Now listen, they were destroying their faith and their future. Now some people think they can sit around and destroy their faith, and that's not so bad. But you destroy your future when you destroy your faith. Okay? Just like you take those dollar bills and those $10 bills you might have saved, and you put them for safekeeping in a little bag, and somebody throws the bag in the fire, not knowing it's not a bunch of paper, there went your future. The minute you throw your faith away, there goes your future. They were destroying their faith and their future by a negative confession. I repeat, they were destroying their faith and their future by a negative confession. Now, what is a negative confession? It is to admit to a visible condition, considering that condition, and believing in its natural conclusion, rather than to stick to the Word of God and what it says. To confess negatively is to look at your condition. And you can say, I'm not blind. Anyone with half an eye could see where these things are going. And then you confess exactly where those things are going. In that way, you get away from the Word of God. And you deny the Word of God. You make a negative confession. You kill your faith. And you destroy every possibility of reaching what God said you could have if you believe. Now, apply that to what we have just said about the conditions in the camp of Israel. Israel never had a chance physically to go into that land and take it, unless the supernatural occurred. Now let's face it, that's all there is to it. Now that's the bugbear you gotta face, that's the giant. Right there. Israel never had a chance. If you consider the physical, they did not have physically and naturally what it took to go in there and take that land over unless God did something supernaturally. Unless God moved by grace. You following? God moving by grace. God's going to do it in spite of them. God's going to do it even though they don't have a thing. God's going to do it. And God's going to do it in spite of the fact they're a bunch of ragtaggles. The offscouring from the backside of the desert. See? Just like remember when Balaam said, Balaam go down there and curse him. And Balaam looked up, he said, I can't curse with God bless. He said, sneak around the back. He said, look in the back door, you'll find some garbage. So Balaam sneaked around the back door and he found plenty of garbage. But God still didn't curse him. And they couldn't realize that this was by grace. See? Now, the inhabitants of Palestine were more than able to destroy Israel, and make no mistake about it. They could destroy the men, take the wives and children, take everything they brought out of Egypt. And man, they brought a mass of spoils out of Egypt because the Egyptians were so glad. When Israel said, we're going to leave, they said, are you sure? They said, yeah, but we just might stay. What do we give us if we get going? They said, take anything you want but beat it. And they took the gold. They took the diamonds. They took all the precious stones. They left way down with the goodies that Egypt had collected for all the years. And listen, they got their wages back for being slaves. So God will give wages to everyone who serves him in this rotten slave country of sin and unrighteousness. Now, make no mistake about it. Israel, all things considered, there was no way out but death to venture into the land. All things considered. I don't care how you consider it. Walk into the land. It's too big. It'll swallow you up. Why, you couldn't take care of yourself? You, before you had a harvest and so on, you might be dead. You couldn't face those enemies. You couldn't face those walled cities. You couldn't face those armaments. You couldn't face the giants. You couldn't face the beasts. They couldn't do one single thing. And when they began to consider it, and which they did was to consider it, think about it, there wasn't one, hardly one, who wanted to venture into that land. Now notice, I've been drilling upon the word considered. All right, all things considered. But listen now, who gave us the right to consider anything but Christ the Word? See? The Bible does not say to consider things. The Bible says, consider him the Word who endured such great contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be weary and faint in your mind. That's what the Bible teaches us. Consider Christ. And when you consider him, remember he was a man. And he endured the contradiction of sinners. Now the word contradiction is contradico, to say against. So therefore Christ endured everything that was said against him. This is the secret of how he was victorious. He committed all things to God in the contradiction. He relied upon the word of Almighty God. And the Bible says, if you do not consider him, then you will be considering something else. If you consider something else, you will faint in your mind. And when you faint in your mind, you will make a wrong decision and you will turn from the word of Almighty God every time. But if you consider him, the word, and stay with that word, you will not faint in your mind. Now, God has guaranteed that if you will consider Christ the Word, that means to peruse it thoroughly. Give it your whole attention. It says you will not faint. And what's the matter of people fainting all the time? It shows they have not obeyed the command of the Lord Jesus Christ, that they have actually turned from that Word, the thing that it is. Now let's get a beautiful picture here of considering Christ the Word. We go to the book of Romans, the 4th chapter. Here again is some of my most favorite scriptures, and usually my Bible is completely worn out in these chapters. Beginning at verse 70, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Listen to God. What language that great one uses. Abraham hasn't been made a father of nothing, and God says, it's already written, I've made you a father of nations. Before God, whom Abraham believed, even God, who quickens the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. You want to know something about God? Just read that verse again and tell you what kind of a God he is. He quickens the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. You can get to know him by studying all that means. Who when hope was gone? Now that word is that little there translation, who when hope was gone, hope gone in faith, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which is spoken, so shall thy seed be. I like to read it this way, in my own little rendition. Who when hope was gone, hope gone in faith, that he might become exactly what God said he already was. Verse 19, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what God had promised, God was able also to perform. Therefore, it was imputed unto him for righteousness. The man faith in the word of God, in spite of everything that he thought to the contrary, absolutely made him 100% righteous. The righteousness which is by faith. To impute to God that he is true, in the face of the fact, it looks like God's a liar. Say, I made you a father in many nations. And every day he's getting weaker and weaker. Every day he's getting older and older. Every day his wife is getting weaker and weaker. Older and older. And now finally she's past the age where she could have a child. They finally come to a place where there is no possibility of even having a child because the act could not be consummated. Now what are you going to do? And it says here, he considered not his own body now dead. And the word consider is to thoroughly perceive. Thoroughly perceive. Thorough. He did not waste his time going into the facets of what was wrong. He did not waste his time going into all the facets of what was wrong with him or with his wife or anybody else. He put all his time on that word which was thus said the Lord. And when things got worse and worse, he said, so what? And they said, Abraham, you're not fit to be that father. You can't be the father. He said, so what? And they said, well, you stupid old idiot, what about your wife? I suppose you're going to take some kind of a tonic and marry a young girl. He said, no. They said, you're nothing we thought you were. He said, so what? Now, you don't mean to tell me you aren't going to be the father. He said, I certainly am. What are you going to do to a guy like that? What's God going to do to a guy like that? You'd have to give him the kingdom. Others are going to lose him. See? Now, this is exactly what took place there. This man considered not that which was wrong. He did not take time to even consider what was against him. All he took time for was to stand on that word, sink or swim, live or die, come or go, up or down, you name it. See? That's what the Bible said. You consider Christ, the word, or you will faint. The warning is there. And the illustration is here. And this is something we must not be guilty of. But Israel, except for Joshua and Caleb and those under 20, all died because they refused to do what God said. They provoked God. Now, they died in unbelief as sinners die in unbelief. They certainly did. Now let's see this clearly. Israel had what appeared to be a legitimate reason to confess opposite to what Moses said. Now watch this, because here is where we must be careful. Israel had what appeared to be a legitimate reason. So did Abraham. So did Abraham. What more legitimate reason when you know that babies are not born by the stork or under a gooseberry bush, and you're too old, 100 years old, to even have any thoughts whatsoever of the act. You're daydreaming. You have a legitimate reason. An absolute legitimate reason. To say, what's the use? If you're just an ordinary human being and not a Christian. Israel had what looked like to be all many legitimate reasons to confess opposite to what Moses said. But listen. And we must get this and understand it, please. And listen carefully to my language. The word that God gave to Israel by Moses was given to the very same Israel that fell. They had the Word, which is the Word of life, the Word of God, created and maintained, which cannot fail, yet Israel fell. That Word of promise did not tell Israel to dress up, to learn to fight, to pray harder, to learn new tactics, to get great gifts, but it said, believe and go in. Now listen, Israel dying was the same Israel that received the Word. You hear this, people who believe in Brigham Graham's message. Israel dying was that same Israel that received that Word, that vindicated, authenticated, absolute perfect, thus saith the Lord, Word of God. They died. Israel dying was the same Israel that received that Word. They left it because it did not seem to be enough, even though it was given the second time. God gave His Word perfect. They did not want it. It did not seem to be enough. Now, I hope you're getting this and getting this now, because Brother Branham said in food in due season, spiritual food, that every seed has within it the full power of transformation. I said every seed has within it the full power of transformation. So don't let go of that Word. Let go of your job. Let go of your family. Let go of every single solitary thing. Let go of every ministry. Let go of every hope. Let go of every thought. But don't let go of that Word. Amen. Now listen again. If Israel would only have sung that song, if they'd only have sung the song that we used to offer an altar call, just as I am, without one plea, just as I am, poor, wretched, blind, because they were, and had taken the Word of God and walked with it, they would have made it right into the Promised Land. And today, the Laodicean church age is poor, wretched, miserable, and blind. So don't look at anything else but those words. You are poor, wretched, miserable, blind. God already said so. You've already been tagged. So don't start to look for anything other than poor, wretched, miserable, blind. Because it's out of this poor, wretched, miserable, blind bunch that God is going to get a bride that's going to stand right on this earth and walk right into the millennium, of which in this case, the Promised Land is a type. And when millions are so blind that they don't know they're poor, wretched, miserable, and blind, they'll never make it because they don't need the vindicated Word of God. But when you already are poor, wretched, miserable, blind, that ought to give you hope. He said, God has given you the vindicated Word. Amen. And don't turn from that Word. Turn from anything else but that Word. So God is going to take from this Laodicean age, poor, wretched, miserable, blind bunch of people, of people who live the millennium, by pure faith in the Word of the prophet of Almighty God. That's what I said, by pure faith. You understand it? Pure faith. I said pure faith. Can you say amen?
Amen.
I hope you meant what you said. I'm not getting tired of you. I'm a little bit tired of all of these people trying to twist the neck. Their own little slant. Their own little trick. I set faith in that Word, as the prophet said. But they haven't got the gumption of, I don't know what, tolerate any kind of preaching. People say they believe his message. You men sit there listening to hogwash from over your pulpit. You haven't got the backbone to go to that man and say, preacher, you didn't say what that prophet says. I've had enough people snapping my heels to know they come and tell me in my face. But you better have your nose with you, buddy. See, I'm not trying to start a fight. He's just letting you know where I stand. If I said something wrong and I can't prove what the prophet said, you better let me know. It's your job. Swallow any single solitary thing, you'll be like Israel. Talk about them in the near nation. See? Now listen. relevant. Has God did not call soldiers or statesmen or theologians in Moses' day? Neither is he doing it now. God doesn't need your PhDs, your DDs, your statements, your great thinkers, your great organizers, your great promoters, your great this, or your great that. Has he did not call for an army of disciplined, hardcore, programmed Israelites? Neither does he do so now. It is to believe the word of the hour. And to believe the word of the hour is to believe Christ in this hour, and he is our hope. To disbelieve the word of this hour is to put Christ outside the church, is what the Laodicean church did. Now let's go back to the book of Hebrews and see it. The third chapter. I'm not balling you up, just making this strong. Because I need strong food myself. Had a bad week, but they're working hard. Wherefore, verse 7, as the Holy Ghost said, today if you will hear his voice, not yesterday and not tomorrow, today. Never mind what went back here. Never mind what's ahead today. If you hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the day of provocation. All right, what day of provocation? In the day of the temptation in the wilderness. Now listen, that's the day that God provoked Israel and Israel provoked God. It was mutual. God looked down and he said, I'm going to let those fellows face the test. I'm going to find out that what's in their heart. I'm going to let them even know what's in their own heart. Because I'm going to put them right face to face with Palestine and I'm going to see if they'll go in on the promise of my word. God testing Israel. And you know what Israel did? The Bible said here, they tempted God. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. And they had seen the mighty works of Almighty God. They had seen what God said he would do, and God did it. And you know what they said? And they said, well, I think God had better show us something else. And Moses said, well, what do you mean? He showed you. Now, and they said, yeah, but we'll believe if he does something different. What do you want him to do different? That's the same spirit the Pharisees had. That's the very same spirit we've got right today. When Jesus Christ did those great works, when he was upon earth here, they said, give us a sign. He said, I'll give you 1,000 signs. I showed you the scripture. I am that one. What more do you want? And they said, well, we'll figure one out and ask you to do it. Well, when your brother came on the scene, gave these mighty miracles that I told you, stood there in Vancouver that time, and said, I challenge you, bring me 24 of your worst cases, I guarantee healing. Or you can go through the prayer line with 60% and get healed. The people said, we'll go through the prayer line. Then God turned right around and performed not only 24 miracles of the greatest he ever saw, but he performed hundreds of miracles, and the impact was long. And then one day a Church of Christ preacher came to Brother Branham. And because they made an offer in the paper trying to run Brother Branham down, they pay $1,000 for an actual healing that could be seen. And Brother Branham said, I've come to fix $1,000. It wasn't me. He said, there's a miracle last night. Here's the doctor. Here's the patient. Well, they said, the money's not here. He said, send and get it. Oh, they said, well, we have evidence. He said, here's the doctor. Here's the patient. He said, I want my money. Well, they said, well, you see, we don't mean it that way. We thought maybe we could bring a girl here and we'd cut her hand and you could pray. You dirty, rotten hypocrite. Filthy child of hell. There's no words I could burn out of my mother's spurt out of the mass of venom that's in their heart. And I'm not venomous. I'm just telling you what it is. You talk about a pharisaical Christ-hating hypocrite calling himself a Church of Christ. Church without Christ. Have you ever heard such nonsense? The same rotten spirit in the day of Moses. The same rotten spirit in the day of Christ. The same spirit is right here today. We haven't got enough. And they said, no, sir, show us another sign. Do something else and we'll believe. Bring us some more of this. Bring us some more of that. But don't tell us we got to listen to today if you'll harden not your heart. What have you got today but that word? But some folks sitting here this morning, you're hardening your heart already. You say we don't have enough. We didn't get enough. And you call the word of God a liar. It's okay to call me one, but you better not call that word one. So this is exactly what the Bible said in the day of provocation. When God put that test there to test their faith, and said, yeah, have you got enough to go in? They said, no, we've got to see something else. So God, God's got to do something else. And God said, you put me to the test. And brother, sister, listen, let no man ever put God to the test. Let man believe God, but pity that man that ever puts God to the test. You say, Brother Dale, I think I got scripture for it. You better read your scripture carefully and see if you really got scripture for it. You remember where God has any admiration for the guy that looked into the head. What did he say to even Thomas? I'll let you go, Thomas. Blessed are those who don't see and believe. You got to stick your hand in that wound? You got to have something else? Or if you believe him and love him without seeing him? See? Too much of this wanting God to do this and do that. Now listen. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation. Now that word generation in the Greek is a very pretty word. And I like to use it many times this way. The word generation, that breed of people. Remember, when this woman Rebecca had cleansed in her womb, God said there are two manner of people in your womb. Two manner of people. Right, two manner. Now he said, this breed of people. You know, you breed animals. Why do you breed human beings too? My, I hate that word. It sounds dirty and just animalistic. Breed of people. What kind of breed of people are we? Are we bred of Almighty God or bred by serpents? Are we bred of Almighty God? Have we been bred by human will or human lust or human brother, human desire, human this or human that? How could a person bred of the will of Almighty God? How could he be of that generation of God, God his source, and then put God to a further test when God did what he wanted to do and then called the prophet off the scene? He said, Brother Bill, are you trying to tell me there's nothing more to come? I don't know what more is to come, if anything at all, but I've got my eye on this word now. I don't care what's down that road. Now, I can't look backward because I'll only see what I was back there, and I'm not interested. Now, God said, I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter into my wrath. Said, no, sir. He said, they'll never get in there. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in you an evil heart of evil, an evil heart of unbelief, in departing from the living God. You've got the very same thing I preached the other night. Unrighteousness. Departing from God is leaving that word. An evil heart of unbelief is an unrighteous heart when you will not take the word of your arms and indicate it. That's exactly why Cain was unrighteous. He would not believe the revealed word of the hour. This is exactly why Abel was righteous. Not what Abel did, but what Abel believed. And he had the revelation. When he had the revelation, he hung to the blood. It wasn't that when that blood was shed, it was not a work of his hand, because you cannot produce blood. An animal produced that blood. And God took the blood of that lamb and instead of the blood of Jesus Christ for the time being. It was absolutely a principle of faith according to Hebrews 7. Now listen. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Now it tells you right there, exhort one another. Exhort one another what? Well, we ain't got nothing. Ain't nobody got nothing. Well, there's got to be more. There's got to be this. There's got to be that. There's got to be the other thing. Oh, I'm sorry I left this. I'm sorry I'm going there. See what you're doing? You stick to the word of the hour the prophet gave and say what he says and go to those tapes and go to your Bible. Stop looking down that road, way down that road. Stop looking in your rear view mirror. Stick with the word right now. Build up your souls in the most holy faith in the word of God that God's given you. Had Israel done that, they would not have provoked God. They would not have died in their unbelief. Some of you folks in every Tom, Dick, and Harry in this country run around. You whisper this and whisper that. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. I'm not here to apologize. This is the last meeting we're having. But I'm trying to give a message of exhortation, rebuke, and comfort all the same time. And I'm doing my best to do it. And I want you to catch it that way. You're going to do what you want anyway. But there may be someone sitting on the fence here. And I want to knock you over on the right side. Get to that word of God. Make you be pulled in and sucked in. Okay? Stick with what the prophet taught. Do the best you can with it. Some of you even guilty right now with your tithe. You give it to widows, orphans, and this kind of trick and that kind of trick, the other kind of trick. When that's absolutely dedicated to a ministry to get this word out, you've got the minions here today. The wonderful godly things in Christ, because that's 6,000 pounds in hand. What are you doing with your tithe? Come along, don't give it to me. You better pray to God and follow this message here and get right. An evil heart of unbelief and desiring from Almighty God, my brother, my sister, is to turn your back on the teaching the prophet laid down. You'll listen to Master Amadeus around authority and turn on church order and say, I can put a gift here in the church of tongues of interpretation and I'll have the same gift in my room because two different things are happening. Hogwash, that antichrist. Would you back him up? Huh? Listen, Brother Branham. and said, how can I teach you algebra if you don't get your ABC? What could Moses do in that day when they turned down that engrafted word which was able to give them salvation? What can any man in this do but turn to the word of God, the hour of this word in this day, and think of that word now? You haven't got power over one of your thoughts tomorrow. You haven't got power over your life for one heartbeat. And you can't recall the date back there, for therefore, this is the moment, this is the hour to stay with this word and stick with it. See? Don't you can turn down my word, that's fine. But I'll tell you one thing, brother sister. You can't turn down what I said just now, because you know I said every single solitary thing is on every single solitary tape almost. See? If I go off those tapes, you rebuke me. Say, brother, love. Like I'm doing in love now. May not sound like it. But believe me, I'll tell you, if I met you face to face, I wouldn't talk this way. I'd be gentle and sweet. But I've got to talk this way because I'm not hitting any person here. I'm hitting a principle. When I take a personality off that principle, I can take that principle and I can take any act or any cup and beat the living daylights out of it. Because I'm not hitting you. I'm hitting the things that follow me. See? Now, let's keep on going here. It says, for we are partakers, not partakers, we make companions. The word in the Greek, companions. If we hold in the beginning of our confidence, steadfast to the end. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not his heart, as your heart to him the provocation. Notice, time after time we go back to show you how your hearts get hard, and how my heart can get hard is by looking for something else other than the vindicated prophet and the vindicated word of the hour gave us. It will. Think or swim, live or die.
Amen.
See? Remember, Brother Branham said, when God gave Moses that great sign, and Moses threw down the rod, God never said, now Moses, I'm going to let them throw down their rod too. Moses threw down that rod, and boom, two more rods got, two more snakes. Just about that, I said, oh boy, did I get in a minute. Oh boy, I just got in a minute. Oh boy, God was with me. Oh boy, let's get out of here. Brother Branham said, Moses just stood there and said, well, God said, let's see what happened. So Moses just stood there. Those snakes took and turned each other hip and whirled, and pretty soon Moses dipped, boom, his snakes are gone. And he said, I always did wonder, that was a pretty good question, come to mind. He said, where'd them rods go in the snake swallowed? I don't know, and I share that. They went somewhere. Don't bother me. Maybe they went back where they came from. God, being creator, can do what he wants. But he said Moses wasn't going to lose the dirt. Moses said, let there be flies. And Brother Ben said, well, we'll bring flies too. Moses just stood back because God didn't turn. He said, okay, okay, if anybody bring forth, please go ahead. Now, the reason of that was, because in this world, Janus and Jambres, though in the Old Testament, did not produce all those miracles. Brother Branham said the Janus and Jambres of these days would. They produce everything he could produce, and Max produce it. And people get very shaken. They get very shaken. You know, if you're Moses, blood, if you're Moses spirit, if you're left to God, you'll just stand back and say, I'll stick with the ball. Just stick with the ball. You won't be bothered one little bit. Or someone they heard did provoke. Howbeit, not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he agreed 40 years? Was it not with him the truth whose carcasses? What an awful thing to call a person a carcass. Chunk of dead in his old carrion. Carcass down the limit. And to whom swear he that should not enter into his rest? But to him that would not. So we see, he could not enter into because of unbelief. Now, you notice those words there. The ninth verse. Your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. They saw the works of God from wanting him to do something else. Brother, sister, the works of God were given in order that people believe God according to the word. And the word was, I'm going to bring you out of Egypt 400 years from now. And we've got a promise of going into the land. And the works were to simply show us who had the right to bring the word. Now that you've got the word, say it to the word. You don't just show some more signs and wonders. All for you if I got Brother Branham back in a private resurrection. All for you if I see more signs and wonders. Though one rose from the dead, they will not believe. They can't do it. Listen, sure he's coming back. We better be careful how we try to say he's coming back. Notice what it says in verse 10, I was grieved with that generation. They do all with her in their heart. In other words, the truth did not get down below the skin. The truth of God did not get down into them. They were not living on the truth. They were living on a sensation. They were living on a manifestation. Well, what they were doing. When God wanted them to live by the word of God in faith. Now notice, that 14th verse. We are made companions of Christ. If we hold the beginning of our calling, in other words, we're going to go right into millennium and we're going to have companionship with Jesus Christ. What is marriage for? Companionship. Is that right? Why are we going to Christ? To have companionship. And here we will have companionship if we stick with this word that we have chosen as the beginning of our adventure. That's what Israel is. They took that word of Moses as the beginning of their adventure into the companionship of the promised land with the Holy Ghost. And today, brother, sister, if we have started with God in this message, laid aside every thought, laid aside every doctrine, pulled down everything we ever thought, and put our whole faith in this word of Almighty God, I say, if we will stick with what we started with, we're going to enter in companionship, which is a marriage with the Lord Jesus Christ in the millennial realm of that blessed Savior. Now, notice, in verse 15, he said, while it's yet today, if you'll hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation. By the word, we can provoke God right now. We can provoke him. We can put him to a further test. We can say it's not enough. Also, in verses 18 to 19, and he said, I swear, they shall not enter into my rest. Now listen, brothers and sisters. Let's get this straight. God swearing by his words that you a certain thing, when God swearing he knows you a certain thing. Well, God swearing he'll do a certain thing for those who believe. And then this morning, he lifted up his hand, that one that descended from heaven, that mighty one whose left, whose hand, whose foot is on land and sea. He raised his hand toward God, and he swore, didn't he? What did he swear? He first of all swore to Abraham that the Gentiles would come in. All of the elect would be in Abraham. Now he swears it's all over. Now that God that swore there is ready to swear by himself, I will not take one of you who does not stay with this word. You prove me wrong, brother, sister. You know that's where the prophet stood. You know that's where he stood. Otherwise, why would God bring us this word afresh? In this very day, my brother, sister, when Jesus Christ is Omega, the Alpha that appeared to give the revelation by the pillar of fire to Paul, that same one has become the Omega. In our day, blessed be our eyes, blessed are our ears, blessed is every single part of us, that we beheld the glory of Almighty God, and saw that part of God which can be seen with our naked eyes, for we saw the signs and the wonders and miracles, and we knew without a doubt that this was the very Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Omega has come, that which was to be in the midst of the people of God. There he was, revealed by the Son, the prophet. You know, he said, if you stick with that, you'll win. I'll swear it. I'll swear it. Swearing by himself. But you turn on it. He swears again, and I swear he won't win. I didn't write this book, brother, sister, I preach it. Listen, get this straight. I am not preaching this morning something as an illustration. Brother Branham on one of his tapes warned us. He said, listen, there is one time I take a scripture, I use it as illustration. There is another time I use it as doctrine. This morning, brother, sister, I am preaching doctrine because this is doctrine. I'm not using illustrations. I'm sticking to what the prophet said. Now, notice. And who did he swear that should not enter his rest? To them that believe not. So we see they could not enter in. Not because they weren't wonderfully virtuous. Not because they didn't have this great thing and that great thing. And not because they didn't have perfect character. Listen, who was the one that went to Brother Branham, that noted theologian, and said, Brother Branham, it's going to be character, isn't it? I was that noted theologian, but he didn't want to insult me before the people, so he called him a noted theologian, and I ain't noted nothing except for being a sourpuss. Didn't want to tell the folk who it was. But I knew who it was because I'd asked him. And I said, Brother Branham, that great thing we're looking for. And that great thing is to stand forth in the character of Jesus Christ. That great thing is to be in that beautiful perfection. And there will be. And now he looked at me. He said, no, Lee, it's not that. And he gets in the pulpit the next Sunday. And he tears it all to pieces. An older theologian came and said, Brother, it's character. It's not character. It's that word you're depending upon, you rattle taggle bunch.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you. You and I at least have a time up here, bless God. You can come along too corny if you want to. Glory to God. You just get sick looking at yourself and start looking at Jesus. Now then, let's apply this to what we're talking about to Hebrews the 4th chapter, verses 1 and 2. Let us therefore fear, lest the promise, being left up, of entering into his rest, any of you that should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached that dwelleth unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Now listen, it says right here the promise is left. And you better believe it. That promise is still remaining right now for people to pick it up. Do you want to win the millennium? Do you want to be part of that bride? Then pick up this promise. Don't let it lie there. Israel let it lie there in the day of Moses. They let it lie there in the day of Jesus. But he said, one more time I speak out of heaven. And then he missed it. It's all over. God spoke out of heaven already. By the pillar of fire. That mighty one came down with that open book with the seals ripped off. He came down and read it. But thank God the Lamb is still before the mercy seat. The Lamb himself did not come down. Leo did not come down. No, sir. No, sir. He just spoke like a lion. He was not the lion. He is still not the lion. No, when he comes of that lion, that ends the whole thing from Virgil the virgin to Leo the lion. It's all over. But he's not Leo yet. He's a pillar of fire. The blessed Holy Spirit, the Word descended. He was close to come. There he is. Now listen, that promise is remaining right now. Now let me read to you the literal translation because your King James Version doesn't give you the whole thing. Let us therefore fear, lest the promise at any time being left behind and still remaining of entering into his rest, any of you should think he has fallen short of it or come too late. There's some of you folk right now, you think you've fallen short. And there's a bunch of you sitting right here that no doubt you think you came too late. Because you've had somebody going around telling you, with not understanding, Brother Branham, that the day of grace is over. It says right here, don't let any one of you think that you've fallen short. And don't let anyone think you've come too late. Stick with that word.
Amen.
Amen. That's the word of God. Not your ideas, not my ideas. What does the word of God say? Does it say you're not to think wrong? It says don't think wrong. It says don't think he said you've fallen short. Oh, Brother Ben, I don't have this sweet virtue. Oh, Brother Ben, I don't have that virtue. Oh, Brother Ben, I don't think the message is me, so I'm in the message. This and that can be true, but that can kill your faith. And I don't want your faith killed. That's why I'm here. I wasted my time. You think I preached my throat up, my heart out here roughly 2 hours a day? I can be down the road taking it easy. Have a cross here around the building saying this and say that. Stick with that word. I don't care what anybody says, a prophet said otherwise. You don't stick with this word, you've lost out right now. You're finished. I'm preaching doctrine, brother, sister. I'm not preaching any ideas I've got. It said right here, not one of you, don't one of you think that you come too late. Don't one of you think you've fallen short. How can you fall short if you're in Jesus Christ? How can you fall short if you're in him? He said, come into that rest. Come into Christ. Come into the Holy Ghost. There's your sealing. There's your perfection. Christ our righteousness all the way through. No, Israel fell by looking at themselves. They had fallen short and they had no hope. I said they fell by looking at themselves. That's right, they fell by looking at each other. Now there's a fellow running around right now. He said, a preacher said to me, well, if this brand message is right, you show me where the bride is. And he said, I looked at myself and I knew I couldn't show him. And he said, I looked at this church and I knew I couldn't show him. And he said, there you are. He wants everyone to be negative. I tell you, before it's over, he'll would to God, he stuck with the word of God. And before it's over, those that stick with him would to God, they listen to the prophet. My brother, my sister, listen to me. You shut every man's voice against your ears that says often what the prophet said. I can prove by the word of God there's not one that can prove your bride. You believe your bride.
Amen.
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 What nonsense people preach. We're not here to fool ourselves. Israel looked at themselves. And they said, you ain't got it. I ain't got it. Nobody got it. Ain't nobody going in. I've got news for you. You can believe those lies all you want. Somebody's going in because my God said so. And if you and I don't want to win, somebody else will win. Make room. Get over. Come over, you know, off the good things of God. Shut up and get out of the camp. Thank you. Somebody's got some courage. Not trying to be a hog or push. It's a matter of faith. Right? The Bible distinctly said people laid it down, somebody else picked it up. Be careful, nobody dispossesses you. See? Right? All right, listen. Israel looked at itself. They look at themselves. They fell short. Why? Because there's no hope in themselves. If there's no hope in yourself, you stop looking. If you know the bottom's out of the bucket, if you still run to the bucket, say, oh, I just thought there'd be water here. You throw it in the junk heap, right? And we're a bunch of buckets without bottom, so throw it in the junk heap. Stop looking at yourself. Look to Jesus. We're just wearing a plate for Jesus, and he said, you people make me sick. I don't mean us, really, but just a comparison. The days of his, to Jesus on earth. He said, you can tell every single sign in the sky and everything else. He said, you're so smart. When it comes to one word of faith, you go blank. And he just blanked out. They got all the answers. Shoot the moon, everything else. And then walk right away and leave Christ, the word. Show me how science can produce stuff that's over. But we don't look at ourselves for faith. You cannot look at yourself for faith. We look to Christ the Word. That is what God backs up and brings to pass. God doesn't back any one of us up. Oh, God's going to back me up, hallelujah. God's going to back me up, hallelujah. Well, God is going to back you up, hallelujah. God's going to back His Word up. Now, if you're with His Word, then you'll be taken care of. If you're not with His Word, you and I miss it. Because God won't back anybody up. If it was on the Lord's side, God backed Himself up. Okay? Just like that little Burton. He said, I stand over my word to perform it. Watch over my word to perform it. Sure. And he said, I got my word above my name. Every single one of us praying in the name of Jesus. And like Pentecostals, they think they can ask anything they want from the old silly thing and put His name underneath it, and therefore their word is above it, and He backs it up. No. You got to put His word over His name, and then you back it up. You only need to get your prayers answered is to pray back what God said. There's no prayer outside you get back to God the very words He gave you. Working by what is it? It's now, isn't it? And this is what God backs up and brings to pass. He doesn't back me up. It's not me He resurrects. It's standing behind His word that I am in that brings about my resurrection. See? It's His word. And if we believe the message of the hour, we are part of that word, and God will bring us in. Is that right? Brother Brown said we were a part of that word, because the bride is the body of truth, and truth is the word. Amen. That's exactly why we have to have a completion at this time. It started as a virgin. It started as we read the word of God. It's got to go back to it. It's got to have a head. Where's the headship of the word? A man came to my house that won't mention his name because of God. You folk know him or know him? He said, Brother Dale, he said, what is the body? What do you mean? Well, what's it made out of? Oh, I said, it's made of many members. Oh, no, what's the body made of? I said, are you fooling with me or do you want a scripture man to which I gave you? See, I get a little bit of at times, too. I looked right through your stern. And I meant it. Because he wasn't going to play with me when it came to the Word of God. I said, what do you mean? He said, has it got a head? He wanted me to say, the body is trunk and arms. Trunk and limbs and head. Show me that in the Bible. Just somebody get your Bible and show me where the Bible says the body is made up of a head and trunk and limbs. Go ahead. He's a million miles off the word in the first sentence he opens his mouth on. I said the body's made of members, not trunk and head and limbs. Many members. Well, he said, has it got a head? And right away I knew what he's driving at. I said, yes, if you mean the headship by the word has returned to the body. And I knew that he meant some little gift that he had, a so-called discernment, where he could deal with people, and then his feelings and his ideas would make him a leader. Now, brother, sister, listen to me. I don't care that much for anything you got to say, and I care even less than that for what I've got to say. Because I believe when Peter said, if any man speak, then to say what God said, which is the oracles of God. Now, we say what God said or we don't care. That's why the book over here says the confession of your hope is not the profession of faith, it's the confession of hope. And hope is what you can earnestly expect from God, and what you earnestly expect from God is His word to be fulfilled. So therefore, the confession of the word of God is what we stand on. We say what the prophet said because that's vindicated. We don't have to worry about the rest because the rest is not the word of the hour for our age. Now, we are part of that word. And God, in bringing His word to pass, will bring us to pass because we are the word in print. Am I right? John the Baptist stood there. And they said, who are you? They said, I am that scripture in Isaiah. I am the literal word of God that says the voice of one crying in earth. I am the word of God in flesh. That word of God that says in Isaiah, and that word of God that says in Malachi. And they said, Jesus, who are you? He said, I am the Word of God. They said, so are you and I. Because God said to the voice of Paul, we shall not all sleep, but he slept. And then Mark, then Irenaeus and his group all fled. And Martin and his group all flee. And Columba and his group all flee. And Luther and his group all flee. And Wesley and his group all flee. And Brother Brown flee. But there's somebody you aren't going to flee. That's it. And the Word of God says that the Word people standing here, the Word bride, some shall not flee. Those who don't are that portion of the Word of God that says that, revealed and manifested. And the world's going to know it.
But they'll know it too. Now let's see. Actually, what is faith? We believe the message, what's faith? If you look in the dictionary, you're going to find that faith is to believe somebody's word without substantiating evidence. But literally, faith means to believe somebody's word without substantiating evidence. Brother, sister, listen to me. How much evidence have we been given to believe God's word? Rings and rings and rings and rings. Hours and hours and hours and hours of the manifested glory and integrity and verbal power of Almighty God in the office of a prophet. We don't need one single solitary more thing. From now on, if we have faith, it's absolutely in the Word, though everything else be contrary. And though, brother, sister, the day could come, I'm not saying it will, but if that day would come when the name of Brother Branham would be taken from the face of the earth, and everybody who tries to say it would be destroyed and killed, I still say there will be a bride on this earth to be raptured. You know why I say it? Because that's in the face of everything contrary to what we're standing for now. Let the thing come to a dead halt. Let it look like it's annihilated. Let it look like Abraham. He's dead. Feminally speaking, his wife is dead. And the ability to produce a child, the whole thing is washed up. No, sir. It'll come to pass. Because we don't consider anything but that word. Now, let's look at Hebrews 4, 11 and 12. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. It takes labor. It takes labor. What's labor? Labor is getting down to one job and getting it done. Labor is not running from pillar to post and here to there and this and that and mess and mess. Labor is when you get in there and work to do a job and you get the job done. Let us therefore labor to enter into the rest. Lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. In other words, it tells you right here, when the pressure is on you, you might turn from that word. When the pressure is on you, you might give up on it. Say, well, I wonder if that really was the word. You got to have something to tie on to, brother. And you better tie on this one. Here was the man was thus saith the Lord. What kind of a God would back up a man who said, thus saith the Lord, if he wasn't the man that he sent? Show me a man who's upset the Lord outside of William Branham. Nobody got it. Nobody but nobody. The man was upset the Lord. Now look at verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, a joint and marrow, a discerner of the thought and intents of the heart. Now listen, we know very well that this very thing came to pass. We saw the very word Christ manifested up to us in this 20th century to commend us to have faith in the Word of God and hold to it. He was a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Brother Branham absolutely knew by the Holy Ghost it was not William Branham. It was Jesus Christ himself discerning the thoughts and the intents. It wasn't just the thoughts. You know that a mind reader can do that. But this was the intent. He could read behind the very words that a man would say and the very thoughts a man would think. Certainly could. He knew he could read right behind to see where that person stood with Almighty God. Why, what else would you expect of the Word? If the Word did anything less than that, it wouldn't be the Word, would it? Now, notice in Hebrews 10, let's go on. The Hebrews 10. We're talking about our day now. 19 to 25 read, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter into the holies by the blood of Jesus, by a new and a living way which he hath consecrated for us. That's through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. and having a high priest over the house of God. Let us draw near, and our heart in full assurance of faith. Now listen, what time can you have a full assurance of faith? You can actually have it in every single age. Why? Because you're believing in the word for that hour. And your full assurance of the word for that hour praises you there. But brother, sister, we're in the last days. And we're in such full assurance of faith that we won't die. And we're supposed to die. The word of God says it's appointed the man wants to die. And after that, the judgment. But now we're not going to die. What tremendous thing is going to happen? Something that overcomes, that overrules death. And puts a living bride in a rapture without missing one heartbeat or one breath or one wink of the eye. What wonderful thing is coming up? It's the full assurance of faith. Our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. Why? No more have you got anything false in here. It's all pure word. It's no longer adulterated. You're right back to being a virgin. Does a virgin have a dirty conscience? No, she can go to her husband and say, I'm pure. When you take me, you've got the woman in your life. How many people are pure? We are, if we don't have a creed or a dogma. We've been legally forgiven and our marriage to Christ because we have been divorced from the old creeds and dogmas. That old husband is dead. He's out of the way. And now we're one with Jesus Christ. Now, our body's washed with pure water. Your body? What do you need your body washed? You're going to die. No, you're not going to die. Brother Brown said, find that woman with the character to listen to the word of God. Have her stand still until she's washed with the water of regeneration. Why? To put her in the bride while she's living and won't die. Body's washed with the pure water of the word of God. Clothed with that inner vesture. Getting ready by the word of Almighty God. Getting ready to enter in by that into your promised land, into your millennium. Let us hold fast the confession of our faith. Oh, without wavering, for faithfully he's the promise. Don't be afraid to confess that word. Don't waver. Why? Because it's thus saith the Lord. Show me, man, thus saith the Lord. If the devil tries to trick me and get one thought in my mind contrary to what I know, I just say, who's got thus saith the Lord with the promise? Where could you find a God who would back up a word, thus saith the Lord, if it wasn't the man that he sent? His Bible said so. Now, let us consider one another. To provoke, that means to excite. Let us excite each other. To what? To love and to good work. Now we excite each other. Why? Because you're part of this holy faith in Christ by the word. And now you say, let's walk in love. Let's do that right thing. That's exactly what the prophet William Branham taught. He didn't say love was the evidence, or didn't work was the evidence, or this is the evidence. He said the word's the evidence. Your faith is your evidence. You believe the word in the hour. That's where you stand. And notice how gracious he was. He didn't care what it got to the point where you know that men and women were drifting away from this word. Preachers drifting from this word. Preachers who never ever took church order and some of the things they laid down. He'd say, my dear brother, he believes this message as well as we do. Letting you know, stick to this word. And then you iron out those words. See, stick with the word. The word of life the prophet brought us. Now, notice, verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approach. What, who do that? Those who hold fast to the word that the prophet brought. You know, you can't have good company unless you agree. And I'm going to say this, not say it frankly. Even Jesus Christ seemed to prefer John to everybody else. And we're human. He was human too. But very wonderful human beings, the creation of God. We're not like he, like him. We're very, very human. And you know something? It's very human to stick with those who believe just like you do. You sort of can't help it. But in the meantime, though, there's where your richest fellowship is. Don't just fellowship those who believe different. If you do, you're going to lose some of the best moments of your life. Some of the richest thoughts and the deepest dignity and the most help I ever got. Pardon me. Was listening to people who thoroughly disagree with me. There are some who believe Brother Brown's the Son of Man. To me, that's the same as believing he's Jesus Christ. Just another name for it. But I'll tell you one thing. I would sooner be in some of those people's company than anybody I know. Why? Because they love the word the way they see it. And they dig and they work on it to expound it. And I love to hear it because usually they bring up a nugget that I've been trying to place. And it just slides right in to know how I know it works. In my own understanding and faith, and I just love it.
Stick with those who have the word. If I had to feed on some of the nonsense these other churches preach, I'd be in a bad shape. Sure, if you don't have a church in your area and you're one little family, maybe it's all right to go and visit some church. Don't partake. Just talk about Jesus and love him and give your testimony. But if you've got two families, I'd sure stay home and hear it too. I'd gather right around my machine and we'd just sit there. If you want to do it, toss the coin if he's going to push the button. But somebody pushed the button. Plug it in and push the button. Now, see? Now, this is what Joshua and Caleb tried to get Israel to see. And they wouldn't listen to it. Stick with this vindicated word. Never mind what you see. Never mind what you hear. Say, oh, the bottom's going to drop out. What a mess we're in. Nobody's going to make it. No, sir. Well, listen to the warning, 26 and 27. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. Now then, what about these people that say, glory to God, don't talk to me about a William Branham coming or any Elijah messenger. Hallelujah. I've got the word of God, and hallelujah, I've got the sacrifice, and glory to God, hallelujah, I've got Jesus right here, wipes it all up. You ain't got nothing. That's right. I'm preaching a doctrine. I am not illustrating. Get this and get it once for all. This is not an illustration. This is a doctrine. You turn down the vindicated word of your hour, the sacrifice, your talking in tongues, your good works, your pious living, your sacrificial works won't mean one thing until the judgment day, then God will weigh him and see where it puts you. You cannot talk bride outside of being a word bride. You cannot talk resurrection on the outside of faith. You can't talk any of these things unless you stay right with that word and believe it and let the chips fall where they're at and pray to God and strive to be the sweetest, most wonderful Christian there is. But being the sweetest and most wonderful Christian doesn't do it. That's just like a set of encyclopedia books that sit there, and unless somebody can read it, it's all in vain. You have got to be born again, and in your rebirth is proven by your identification with the word of the hour. Because of the Holy Ghost has come to teach you things to come. And that thing came, and you couldn't pick it up, and you don't have the Holy Ghost, is that right? Huh? If I've got a machine that's supposed to pick up all the coins that have lost on here in the campground, and I run my machine over all those coins, and I can't find it, then my machine's not a machine that finds coins. And if the Holy Ghost is sent to teach you things of the hour, and you miss it, then you couldn't have the Holy Ghost. So don't try to bluff it and say, well, I must have the Holy Ghost, glory to God, I believe it. I'm not a well, now listen, that's being silly. That's like a little dog that thinks a human being. Poodle jumps up on the table and tries to pick up a knife and fork. I'm a human being. Say, get down, dog, shut up. You know, some dogs almost need a psychiatrist. They ever found out they weren't a human being. The way people treat them, they'd have a rooster. Well, that's the way I talk about this thing here. Some people say they're born again, got the Holy Ghost. You talk about being baptized with his spirit and then turned down a vindicated prophet with thus saith the Lord. Brother, sister, listen, I don't want to sound vulgar, but if the Holy Ghost appeared here as a cup of water, you wouldn't recognize the cup of water. Couldn't do it. He's got to do what he said he'd do. Now, you and I don't got to do what we're supposed to do because we don't. But the Holy Ghost has got to do what he's supposed to do because he's God. So if the Spirit of God is on the scene, and that word of God comes to that day and people turn it down, it's right off the evidence right there they don't have the Holy Ghost. See? That's why I say, well, somebody said a while ago, they said they sing that song, I'm one of them. He said, which one of them? I said, I don't care which one they are as long as they're one of them, because that's the starting point. If you're not one of them to begin with, you're out of it entirely. You say, how do you know, Brother Hale? Because, Brother Sister, all that came out under Moses, not anybody else, Moses. I'll send you Elijah, not anybody else. Elijah. Stick with your word. All right, listen to the warning here. If you turn down the knowledge of truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sin. The very sacrifice of Almighty God is only capable to save you today. It is only vicarious on your behalf because you believe that word. What's meant if you turn down the word? Like Israel. A fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversary. To turn from the word of God makes you an adversary of God. As I said the other day, and I hope you caught it, that when poor little Eve, that poor sweet little girl, was caught by the devil, she became a part of the whole plot against God. When you turn down the word of God of a vindicated man, you and I would become a part of the plot against God. You say, Brother Dale, how can that be? Because he said so. He that is not for me is against me. Did he say it? And I've got to preach it. This is what I said the other night. Make people, preachers like us men who preach this word, you go home and you say, oh God, I hated to say those things. I wish I'd never said them. It looks like the whole world's going to say that. He doesn't believe in anybody but himself. No, I believe in the prophet. He was vindicated. He could prove that he was weak. You show me anybody else to prove that he was weak. Like that old Negro spirit. Everybody talk about heaven ain't going there. Everybody talk about Jesus can't prove it. I can't prove it. William Branham proved it. If I believe him, then I'm saved. You say, how? If they could believe Moses, they'd have been saved. Oh, saved through that rock that is higher than I. But who brought that rock into view? Moses. Who brought that rock into view? John the Baptist. Who brought that rock into view? William Branham. See? And if you want a refuge in that rock, my brother, my sister, you got to know where the rock is. You got to know what the rock is, too. Where it is and what it is. See? You want to be safe in that rock. Now, he said there's nothing left but a fiery indignation. Why? Because they despise Moses' law. It didn't say God's law, it says Moses' law. Paul's gospel. David's song. Branham's message. Oh, don't say that. Somebody's a hypocrite and ain't me. It's not you either. I'm not going to garnish you soon, bless God. I won't be here. Hallelujah. I won't be here to find out too late. I'll be gone. Not too long, though. I'm just gone. I don't have to be gone long. I don't even want to be gone long. I just want to be gone. And if it's just a split second, that's just that's good enough. They can find it when they want to find it. I found it now. Death to all in unbelief. There's only one sin, and that's unbelief. Every other thing's an attribute. Now think on the 20th century negative confession. Think on our 20th century negative confession. God sent an absolutely vindicated prophet. Show me one time he ever failed. Oh, you got folks that said he did. Ha. My. Story came back in India. Brother Bannon said, thus the Lord didn't come to pass. I said, hold it, I got to find out about that. I found out Brother Branham said to the man, you're healed, didn't say thus says the Lord. And the man was healed 2,000 years ago. Good. God said to Abraham, you're a father Nathan. Oh, you old liar, you God, I'm a father nothing. Call God a liar, go ahead. I'm not going to lie and say, yeah, I'm a father Nathan, just because God said so. Who are you, amen? Well, there's a fella called God. He said, I'm a father nation, but I'm the father of nothing. So I'm living in deciphers now about this thing. Where did you find that in the Bible? Doesn't the Bible say to say what the Bible says?
Amen.
Huh? If you know something about God, you better learn it. God calls things which are not as though they were. So if you want to talk like God, you've got to call things which are not as though they were. And if that makes you a liar, then goody for you. And I can be a liar just like God. Oh, boy, I wish I really was. Oh, man, if I could lie like God, man, that'd be great. That means never again would I ever be confused. And never again would there ever be a doubt. Why? Because I'm lying like God. Because I call things darn as though they were, and I know it. Look, see how you get mixed up and how you can ruin your life if you don't stick with this word. God calls things which aren't as though they were, and you are not going to change him because that's God, and he's going to keep on doing it. See? Every man he calls, he has already glorified. And I'm not yet even glorified, but I was called. So therefore, I am glorified. You say, you sure look like a glorified bunch of nothing. That's according to your eyes. I'm looking through God's eyes. So you go, you look through your eyes, and I'll look through my eyes. Sure. You know, the old somebody said, the beauty is in the eye of the beholder. I'm sure glad God beholds me, because his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Negative confession. God sent the vindicated prophet. He sent his prophet. He sent that prophet. He proved he sent him because he was absolutely vindicated and the scripture bore it out. That prophet brought the word. He opened the seventh seal. In those seven seals were the seven thunders. Remember the seventh seal of the seven thunders in them? He said they're open. He preached serpent seed, election. He set the church in order. He lined up the gifts within the church. He taught no eternal hell. He taught the truth in Matthew 25, which is the white throne judgment, and not the judgment of nations, where they win the millennium. He taught all the mysteries of God, which is the word of God revealed, coming down from heaven. The former rain had fallen because it was the teaching rain. The latter rain came upon it because he said, in the very place where the sword struck his hand, which was the word of God, in 1965, in the identical spot, he said, the dove appeared. And the dove is the Holy Ghost. And if the sword was real and the dove was real, then the Holy Ghost has fallen upon the word, and the latter rain is here. And that great one which was to follow has come. And the bride has all she needs to put in the rapture. That's what the prophet said. So that's got to be thus saith the Lord. The bride has all she needs, and she got them through the six seals and the seven thunders. But like Israel, she is green. She's green. Like Israel, she doesn't seem to have a thing. Everybody but her has got something. Oh, the ones that are possessing the land that she's supposed to have. They're in there with their swords, and their giants, and their weapons, and their wall cities. And oh, you can't budge them in time. That great ecumenical Goliath is standing right there, and we stand like poor old David. Runting, knock, knee, hammer down, last one of the family. In the run. You couldn't do anything worthwhile, so they said, look, boy, take care of them dumb sheep. They're dumb like you. He was insignificant. When old Samuel went by there to anoint one of the sons of Jesse, he instructed everyone, all alive, stood there, and he said, oh, boy, he said, that's my kind of man. God said, step aside, son. That ain't my kind. He's got too much of the ball. Wrong ball. Too much of the wrong thing. So he said, well, he said, maybe he had the horn all ready to tip. He said, I'll try this. He looks second best. God said, step aside. Not him here. He went down the line, and he said, oh, isn't this the strangest? I know God said, come here. Well, he said, there's only one thing, that he's got to have one more son. No doubt he's ashamed of him, and he's there in the close closet with the rest of the skeletons. And he said, by the way, he's trying to be gentle now, sweet, you know, because, you know, you've got Brother Branham was sweet, and old Sandy, he didn't want to hurt the guy's feelings, and he said, perchance, he said, oh, I blush you to mention it, because I'm afraid there's a skeleton in the closet. But he said, perchance, and I hate to say, well, there is, yeah, is there one son around? Oh, he said, yeah, he said, there's that man. He's ever since that kid was born, he said, he's on the back side of the desk. But he said, you couldn't want him because he ain't got nothing. He said, well, I agree. But he said, God said, would you please bring him in? He comes this scrawny, squawky little kid, and his voice not even changed. Dirty and dusty, you know, looking like a kind of little wild in him. And God says, that's my boy. I was afraid of that, he said. And look at yourselves this morning. Hey, what do you got to present to God? What do you got to say you have to put out the anointing at all? What do you got to give to God? Not one thing. Like Israel, we don't seem to have a single solitary thing. People are looking for this, they're looking for that to come. They want more message, they want more something, they want more this, they want more that. Some of them even have gone around and said, I ain't got nothing. You ain't got nothing. Nobody got nothing. That's absolutely what they're saying. Oh, negative confession of the 20th century. Will you die in your unbelief? Will you talk about God in this message and yet die in your unbelief? Will you say you believe the prophet and stand for his vindication and yet die in your unbelief? Have you ostracized yourself from your family to those who love their own words? Have you left your churches? Have you left your job? Have you turned down a position that you might have had? But now, believing this message, yet you're willing to turn away and say it's not enough. Listen to me. What did Moses give Israel but the word? The gifts of gifted men only separated and brought Israel through it in. And God said the gainsayings of Korah and the way of Balaam would be back within the church of the end time with Jannes and Jambres. There'd be many with gifts, with their signs and wonders. There'd be many doing great things and seeing great things done. And God said, they're nothing but Jannes and Jambres. They're nothing but the gainsayings of Korah. They're nothing but the way of Cain. They're nothing but death and destruction. Why? Because they departed from the living God, who is the living Word, who showed that He was what He was, which that which was to come. Now listen, what could Brother Branham give you but the Word? What is the promise? All right. What's a kettle of soup? Soup. Oh, we're so clever. What's that? That's a bearing. What's that? That's a piano. What's that? That's a... steel guitar. What's that? Microphone. What's that? That's the cones over there in the speaker. What's that? Amplifier. Oh, we're so smart. What's the profit?
Ah. So, yeah, what is a profit? A profit is a man.
Yeah, he's a man. Just in Jesus' day. Oh, you can tell the sign of the sky. Don't give me an apple now. I'm not trying to joke. I'm trying to tell you something. You can see all these things out here, and oh, you're smart. You can build a thing to take you to the moon and bring you back again. But what's the profit?
Yeah, what is the profit?
Now, you go ahead. You tell me. You're all so smart. We're all so smart. What's the profit? The man who brings the word.
Oh.
A man who brings the word?
Then why do we have the lady in the north door? Knock, knock, who's there?
A Western Union messenger. What have you got?
What do you think I got if I'm the messenger from the Western Union?
A loaf of bread?
Yeah. By the way, did you bring me a loaf of bread?
Could you have possibly brought me a quart of milk?
Woman, look.
Can you spell your own name?
I certainly can. I'm a graduate of a lovely university.
So that's what they're graduating nowadays.
I'm a Western Union boy with a message, and you want a quart of bread, a loaf of milk, and don't even know that I bring a message? And you say you're educated? You say you've got an ounce of sense? And what's the matter with the people of the church? A prophet brings the word, but they want a quart of milk. They want a loaf of bread, a can of coal, a pound of oil. And when the word of God comes, they want something else and turn it down. Shame on the people. Shame on the people. Shame on the people. And call themselves they got an ounce of brains. Spiritually dead and bankrupt.
I challenge you this morning by the authority of the word of Almighty God. When William Branham stood in that pulpit, he said the third pole was the revealed word of God. And he said, I've had many anointings. I've had many times the glory of God, but nothing compares with bringing that word. Christ revealed to the bride. Behold your bridegroom. Now they want something else. Now they want something else when it's Christ your parent. My brother, my sister, take one word away, add one word, and you've lost it all. How brilliant have our minds fallen. Our brilliance, our smartness, our theologians, the whole bunch went down. Don't you see we're at the end time? Don't you see us all over, brother, sister? Can't you understand? When men are so blind in the spirit, they don't know what a prophet does. They're looking for every single loop and hole and cranny. And one day they're going to scream to the rocks to fall on them, to hide them from the wrath of the Lamb. Why? Because there's got to be judgment. The prophet said so. Throne of mercy, throne of grace, and then judgment. We saw the throne of mercy brought into full view when he revealed the Lord Jesus Christ, our blessed Savior. And they said, can you tell me that in that Christ there's no eternal hell? He said, glory to God. He doesn't hate anybody, doesn't want to destroy it, but it's part of his plan to bring out his attributes just like a father takes care of him. You say, all right then, you mean to tell me he'll take one of these and cast the other away before they're even born? That's my Jesus. That's what he said he would do. He said, all the Father's given me, not will give, but have given, will come to me. And I'll lose, not I'll raise up. You mean to tell me there's eternal security for that one that even spits in his face, as it were? Somehow in his growth, or somehow in the test he's coming, fails those tests, and he seems to follow me. You mean God will raise him up? Righteous man shall fall seven times, and God will raise him up. He said, I don't have that kind of a Jesus, a brother, sister. There he is revealed. When that book was opened, out steps the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Out steps that word, that living word that we say we believe and love. And they said, I can't take that. And they turned away. His brother Bannon said, they shook their heads and walked off to their creeds and dogmas in the denomination. They didn't want the word. No, they didn't. Let us keep looking at self. Keep looking at others. Never mind what the others say. We have no part with that whatsoever, brother, sister. Say what he told us to say. What did he tell us to say? Just what he said. Now listen, let us remember Abraham and live, for he considered not his own body now dead. Nor did he yet consider Sarah, whose body was also dead. You can't look at yourself as somebody else and make this bride. I can't do it, and you can't, but there's none of us going to do it. You got to look away to Jesus. That's why Brother Bannon preached that sermon. Get your eyes off the other fella. Shut those seducing spirits and get back to Jesus Christ. Listen, here verse 13 of chapter 4. For the promise that he should be heir to the word was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law,
but through the righteousness of faith. Faith, righteousness. Not what you did. Not what you wanted. Not what you hoped, what you believed. Is that right? Believing will make it so. Wishing won't make it so. Wanting won't make it so. Believing will make it so. Yea, though walk through the valley shall then, I will fear no evil. Believing will make it so. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is void, and the promise of non-effect. The promise of God through Jesus Christ when he appeared as that Lamb of God with a non-effect to Israel because they wouldn't believe it. And if we don't believe the promise of God through the prophets, believe every word, it's of non-effect. What promise? Making the rapture, making the millennium, because the law worketh wrath. For where there is no law, there is no transgression. That's right. There's no law, no transgression. It's all of grace. Therefore, it is the faith that it might be by grace to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed. Notice that. Your faith makes this promise sure. Not your work, not what you've done or what you will do, but your faith in him absolutely seals you in. Why do you think Brother Branham loved Howard the best of all the families? Why does he say he loved Joseph so much? Because he said, Joseph, believes me, he never, ever doubted me, and he did it, Howard. Howard could, Brother Branham could walk in that room when Howard was dying. Brother Howard, he could have been even almost under 6 feet of ground if he had one little quiver left his finger. If Brother Branham could walk in that room, Howard rose up well. Faith, brother, sister. And Howard wouldn't live the life till God took him. And he knew his brother wouldn't be there to help him back. He said, get my clothes out, I'm going. They said, Howard, you're going to get better again. He said, no, Bill won't be here to pray with me. He won't come this time. He said, God told me I'm going. Get my clothes up, clean them up, I'm going. Cleaned his life up. Stood ready to meet his Lord and walked off the scene because God took him. Brother, sister, faith. Oh, faith, my brother, sister, faith is with him. Faith anybody can have. Brother Bannon said, this is so common they call it hyssop. Grows in every crevice and cranny, sure. But once you come to him, he takes that very faith and transforms it. So it's no longer just your human faith, it's a divine faith, as he said, in the stature of a perfect man. Because you've got to have faith in that virtue and so on down the line. It's your faith in Jesus Christ, the faith in that word. Stand with that word, brother, sister. Shake your head until your eyes can focus only on the word. Shake every thought, bring into captivity into the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Notice the promise is sure. The promise is sure. That's all that is sure, brother, sister. There's nothing else that's sure, only the word of God. Then why think of anything else? Why want anything else? Why worry about anything else? Labor to enter in it. Bring your thoughts into captivity. Stay with that word. Check it, check it, check it. And don't listen for these little things that try to bring you off and say, I know something different. I've got a little secret and you've got to learn it. I've got some little thought and you've got to get it. All, brother, sister, forget it. Stick with that word. Stick with that word. Know what that token was. Now, he goes on. As written, I've made you a father of many nations, and so on. Listen, I won't read any further, but listen to this, brother, sister. In that 22nd verse, it says, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. If you go back to the literal translation of Joel, the second chapter, it says, this food is given to you for righteousness. Brother Branham said the food was stored up on tape, and therefore the word that he gave is of righteousness, because Christ is of righteousness. And this brings up what I said to you in First John, the third chapter, brings up what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 5 and 20, 2 Corinthians 5, 21. Brings it all out that, brother, sister, when you have faith in this word, the revealed word, you have faith in Christ. And this brings Christ himself right into your very being. This brings him and makes you and he identical. Acts 31. See? I have given you this food, said Joel. This restoration word is your righteousness. And we have been clothed with the inner garment of the garment of God. Now in closing, let me make this warning, brother, sister. Let's go to Numbers 14. Verses 40 to 45. You love the Lord?
Amen.
If you're not hurt, I, when I preach this way, it's kind of hurt you. Just trying to get rid of all of these scabs and things that would destroy us. Blind our eyes. This is verse 40. Now after it was all over, and Moses, the wrath of God had appeared, and they realized they'd done wrong. It was too late now. But they rose up in the morning, and they said, let's get out of here. Let's go to the place that God promised. For we sinned. Moses said, what are you going to sin anymore for? What are you trying to sin for now? You're just going to sin more. It won't do you any good. Don't go up.
The enemy's going to beat you. But they said, listen, we've repented. We've changed our minds. We're going to do it. And they got beaten. You know what it says in the book of Hebrews? It said when God lets them taste that good word, the power of the world to come, taste of the Holy Ghost, and all of these things through the vindicated prophet, it says if they don't change their mind, they can never change it again. And it says Esau tried to find repentance, he couldn't do it. And my brother, my sister, you turn down this word, there'll come a day too late when you want to get it, and you'll not get it. You'll not get it. You'll try, you'll labor, you'll work at it, but it'll be too late if you miss it. Don't fool with this word, brother, sister. Listen, there are many false teachers gone out. I hate to say this, because look, I can't stand or say I'm vindicated. I can't say, oh, I know I'm one of them. Even the great apostle Paul said, I myself might be a castaway. He never said, look, I want to tell you this, that, and the other thing, and I'm going to stand up and shoot my mouth up and say, you people better listen to me because, bless God, I have got it, and you might not have it. I can't say that. All I can say is this, there are many false teachers gone out. There are many men today who want to make a sign in your flesh, and they want you to stick up for them and fall behind them. I want to tell you, brother, sister, you get with that word. You never mind the evil. You stand on your guard, brother, sister. I might come sometime with a spirit of envy on me and teach you wrong things. I might be like Saul with a spirit of jealousy and teach you wrong things. You stick with this word, and if you're on case, and if you hear one place I'm off, brother, sister, you pray to God for my soul. And you come to me and tell me right later. Now, don't not write me nonsense. Or you'll get a swift one back. You better know what you're talking about. Because if God is my judge, I'm not fooling today. I stand in jeopardy every hour. I'm going to have to meet God for what I teach. And if I don't teach what that prophet taught, then I'm a false teacher. I'm a liar. And I'm going to have to stand in your stead because you believe. I don't want any sign in your flesh. I don't want one show in your flesh. But I'm telling you, believe now and stick with this word. If God is my judge, I don't know what lies down the road. And you don't either. And there isn't one person knows it. There isn't one. So I know this brother makes preparation for so-and-so. He has no vindication whatsoever. He's just going the way of his faith. And I say today, when you don't know, when you can't prove it, just stick with this word and believe every single solitary word. He said, why? Because, listen, brother, sister, over here in Matthew 25, verses 10 to 13, it says this, and while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready, remember John the Baptist came to make ready to prepare people? Every one of the elect has got to be made ready with that wedding garment. The word of God must be vested inside the person on his soul. That word has got to get right down in your soul until you and that word become one. And every inlet to your soul is now plugged off. And there's no inlet left there. And you all become word, word, word until love, Christ himself, come down and overflow you. And the bride becomes an identification, or rather a manifestation with identification, Lord Jesus Christ. So when that bride was ready, she went to the marriage and the door was shut. And afterwards, someone came to her and said, Lord, Lord, open to us. The virgins came. And he said, I used to know you as my wife. But I don't know you as my wife anymore. That's a literal translation. I used to know you as my wife. But I don't know you as my wife anymore. In other words, she's divorced. That's what 2 Thessalonians said. After, there's going to be a divorce. And when the divorce comes, the separation, that's the separation divorce, then the man of sin will come. Brother Branham said, absolutely, our old husband was dead. He said, it's all over. I've forgiven you your marriage and divorces, but now it's no longer that. There's the dead. And brother, sister, because we're one with Christ, we know where the wise virgin's going in. But one day there's going to be a day when you and I will stand upon this earth in some kind of manifestation. I don't dare try to be fast because I don't know and God hasn't showed me. All I can quote to you is from the rich spoken words original seed, where it's in the italics, where Brother Branham got it from God. Read it for yourself. And he will tell you exactly what God told him to write. And when the bride becomes that very thing, the others will want it too. And say, I don't know, it's too late. The divorce has gone on. They said they were his wife, but they weren't. Why? Because they weren't with that word. They wanted their shorts. They wanted their flats. They wanted this. They wanted this. They wanted their sensations. They wanted their ideas. They wanted their false teachers. They wanted something else. They wanted leadership. No, brother, sister, I want that word. If Christ is that word and that word has been revealed, and I have to help the bridegroom, then, brother, sister, that's all I want. And I will follow his voice, as I said, in the songs of Solomon. When she heard that voice, she was so enamored. She said, you know the language of expression of love, physical and also spiritual. And here she was so emotionally drawn to it, just literally, as it were, oozing and dripping in love. She went to see that one. When she got to the door, he was gone because I heard his voice. And I know that voice. And I'm going to see him. She went through those streets.
They high-pressured her. They grabbed at her. They set the dogs on her. They tried to seduce her. They tried many things. But she went on and on, plucking at her garment. They're dragged, going through the briars and through the night. The dew settling upon her. She looked like anything beautiful. Her hair was all messed up. Her garments were messed up. But she heard his voice, and suddenly he stood in all his glory. And she said, "I love you." She said, "You're beautiful. How can I be beautiful? Oh, God. There's not one thing in me that you're beautiful. You're beautiful. I love you. You're beautiful. You're all mine." And the world stood back and said, "You love that bunch of scraggy bunch of no good. You love that bunch going out there. Call on a Balaam. Call on a Balaam," said Billy. "Tell that high priest, that great Orthodox missionary bastard. Come on down there, man. Curse that bunch." He said, "I can't curse the God of Israel. I can't say any more God said." And he said, "I see them. I hear that they're beautiful. They're the gems of God. They're the glory of God. They're the inheritance of God. They're the glad to curse them." He said, "I can't curse them because they're all together lovely. They're beautiful because he said he sees them." Brother, sister, we talk about those days when the saints come marching in. We talk about the crowning glory. That's okay for you that want it. I want to be part of that. When he looked up and said, "I love you, you're beautiful." "But oh God, how can I be beautiful? Not good to look at. I've been high strung, I've been evil tempered. I've done those things I shouldn't have done." He said, "You're beautiful." He said, "You're mine, I love you." All right, he looks down in that seat, anointed by the Holy Ghost, knowing this, one of his child come home. Brother, sister, one of these days his old cock of her nature's gotta go. And that seed's gonna come forth in its full transformation and beauty. Because that's what's gonna bring about the resurrection. The fruitful seed is not the one you see, no, it's not. But the one buried deep in the heart, yet lying there in his Son, the Son of the Word, is going to bring forth the very life of Jesus Christ, our Lord. I want to close by reading these words, the unveiling of God. The veil, the old badger skin, were hiding the Word of God to their eyes, natural. Behind there also was a showbread, yep. It was. Behind there also was the Shekinah glory, it was. All the glory of God was right behind that old badger skin, all hid to the natural eye. So it is today. Notice, all the glory that is in God is in the Word. All the blessings that are in God are in the Word. It's hidden to the unbeliever by tradition. Did you hear? By tradition, by your own conscience, by mine. But it's all in Christ. And we into Christ are behind the veil. And what is the proof of being in Him? He told us that Word. Listen, if I am in Christ, I am His Word. For He is the Word, and what He is, I am. The Word manifested or revealed is that revelation in there. Then, what does that put me? Where does that put me? If He is the Shekinah glory, I'm part of it. The Word itself revealed itself. The mysteries of God made known to us in the day by the same heavenly message that was made known to them in those days. Then we are just what Brother Branham said. If I am part of Him, then I am part of that Shekinah glory. If I am part of Him, I am that part of that imperishable Word. If I am part of Him, I am part of that promise. If I am part of Him, I am part of that resurrection. All that He was and is veiled behind these old badger skins here, brother, sister. Taken off of animal stiff and starchy priest, melted in, it looks so good. The brother, sister, down deep in there, there's got to be that seed, and that seed lines up with that Word, and faith is our righteousness. Amen. I have given you this food for your righteousness. What is it? Faith in that revealed Word. Brother, sister, listen, Israel's raggedy, taggedy. All look like a bunch of ragamuffins. They never had one thing that they thought in the natural could commend them to God. Neither do you and I have. For here we are, poor, wretched, miserable, blind. We think we had an anointing and didn't have it. We thought we had God and really we weren't. But here we were without Christ, without God, without hope of covenant because there wasn't one of us had the truth. Our faith was therefore vain because we were established not upon the solid rock, but upon the creeds and dogmas of sinking sand. But one day a prophet came on the scene, vindicated with signs and wonders. And somehow we knew that there was a man we ought to listen to. Somehow we knew that there was the Word that had to come forth. And we saw Him, and we looked past Him. Yeah, we looked past His badger skin, and we looked past His image, we looked past everything, and we saw reality shining out of that person. Brother, sister, listen, we're in that day today. In the day of the great God, Lord Jesus Christ. The Word was made flesh, yes. Not Brother Bannon. He wasn't that whole Word. He was the Word to this day, that's right. He was that Word, Revelation 10 and 7. He was that Word in Luke, Acts 17 through 26 through 30. He was that Word, Malachi 4, 5 and 6. He was that Word. As also part over there in Malachi 3, because remember, the great and dreadful day of the Lord, when he's the refiner's fire, also in Malachi 3. He was the actual fulfillment, that Word of God made flesh amongst us. And we heard that Word for our day. And we came in to become a part of it.
We are part of Christ and all that He is, whether people believe or not, or whether we ourselves have actually set our hearts to believe it and give God the glory by faith in Him, we are all part of Him. Whatever He was, wherever He is, we are. He became us that we might become Him. This is where we stand today, brother, sister. Don't take your negative confession. Don't take what's being put through the world. Remember, check it up against the prophet. Stand up for the word of truth. If the prophet said there'd be an eighth one, then look for an eighth one. But he said, if somebody else comes and he's a man, then I am not that one. No. He was that one. And the word that he has is that one. And if we have that word, we are a part of that one. You believe this afternoon? Amen. Thus shall we rise. And turn the service back to Brother Gunther just a second, but shall we pray? Heavenly Father, knowing we'll be going now, the last service at this time, having been, Lord, enjoying ourselves with each other around that word, we know, oh Lord, there's one satisfaction that many people console. They're going to reap a bad harvest. But Lord, we believe that in this place there was sown the actual real word of Almighty God. Amen. We believe it, Lord, based upon what the infallible prophet brought to us. Lord, we're standing on. Lord, if we made any mistake, correct us. Forgive us, Lord. Even a good whipping, Lord, is sure to help out the smartness of the faith on that word, because we don't want to be anywhere but where you are, where the Shekinah glory is, where the showbread is, where the whole reality of God is. We want to be a part of it. Lord, we want that today. Oh, let this part of the bride, Lord, be the true babe of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Lord, there's one thing we want even more than that, because though we love to be a part, and Lord, we believe we're a part, we love above all else to have you shine through us, that when men see us, they see Christ. Oh, God help us. Just like we long for our children to stand before us with real dignity, and they're able to stand up with grace and affirm us and be real citizens of the household of our natural family. Lord, we too want to stand up as real citizens of the household of the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless all those that labor here faithfully, O God, in this camp, we pray, that brought this meeting to pass. We pray, Lord, you'll give them guidance and direction. Whatever should be done in future, Lord, and whatever they ought to do, guide people in ministry, Jesus. Give people hearts to really seek thee, to be absolutely right, O God. O Heavenly Father, I'm not saying this just for the sake of saying it. And God, surely I cannot be saying it in vain, because it's in your word. Help us to help us. Look down upon this old raggedy mother, raggle tangle, a bunch of people, Lord, that in ourselves we don't claim one thing at all. And we will never claim a thing, Lord, for we are absolutely nothing. But Lord, when you speak, we're absolutely something. Oh, Lord, he wouldn't sell that down the drain. Oh, God, whatever you are, we want to take the full measure of faith and rest it right in there. And no matter whatever happens, or anyone said, stand with it like Abraham. Until in those closing moments, the last hour of his life, when he was in worse shape than he ever was, suddenly the clock turned that new hour. A new 60 seconds began. And here was a man woman typing a resurrection. Oh God, let it be our portion today. Let it be our Lord Jesus. For we hunger, strive to be a part of it. For the King eternal, immortal, and visible, the only wise God, be all power and honor and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let me come to you.